intention is to continue our mini-series on the millennium. I want to recap the major points a moment before we pick up where we left off. We started out, what is the millennial kingdom? Why a millennial kingdom? Secondly, when does the millennium begin? Who will be part of the millennium? That last week we covered that. And today we're going to pick up on what will it be like during the millennium. Would you look with me at Isaiah 65, verses 20 through 25. Isaiah 65, verses 20 through 25. And let's pray a moment before we get going. Father, we just thank you so much for your word, again, for the prophecy. Thank you for speaking to us, Lord, through many avenues, including through your word. Pray, Lord, that you put a watch on my mouth, that I would only speak that which you've ordained for today, Lord. Not a word more or a word less, and all to your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, before we read that scripture, under the heading of what will it be like during the millennium, what it will be like during the millennium is pretty much normal life. People will be getting married. Pretty much everything good that's going on now will be happening then, minus all the sin. That's what makes it all the more attractive to them. All right? So let's begin reading verse 20. Never again will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. He who dies at 100 will be thought a mere youth. He who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat. For as the days of a tree, so will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will long enjoy the works of their hands. They will not toil in vain or bear children doomed to misfortune. For there will be a people blessed by the Lord, they and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox, but dust will be the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. How about a place like that? Does that sound good or what? For a person 100 years old to be like a mere youth. My goodness, that's amazing. To not make it beyond 100 years old to be considered accursed. Never again will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days. For those of us who have lost babies, what this is saying is that's not going to happen there. I believe that includes stillborn. I believe that includes there won't be miscarriages. Now, you may disagree with me, but I think that that covers all of that. There won't be any of that anymore. There won't be babies born with all the problems that they have and only live a few days. But they'll be born, and the parents will love them and raise them. Man, that sounds good to me. How about before they call, I will answer? It sounds to me like answered prayers are going to be a lot easier for some reason in the millennium. How about about the wolf and the lamb feeding together. No more will there be predators and those that the predators are after. It won't be happening anymore. Which means, even if you run across the bear in the millennium and walk right up on him, that bear's not going to do anything to you. I don't know, maybe if you jump on him and ride him, I don't know. I don't know. But what this tells me is there will be perfect peace. There will be peace between animals. There will be peace between people and animals. No more will the predators be a threat to us. Right? Isn't that what you read into that? But you know what? I like what it says about the serpent. He's still going to crawl on the ground and eat dust for what the serpent did to humanity in the garden, in the deception. Right? So, what will it be like during the millennium? Here's a few things that we see prophetically in Isaiah. The next thing we see is redeemed creation. Creation being redeemed. What we are living in right now, and what we have been living in ever since the fall of Adam and Eve, was not God's original intent. See, in the new millennium, that's going to be more like what God's original intent was. Before sin entered the earth. Are you with me? And let's look, first of all, at the whole idea of some more about the animals in Isaiah 11, verses 6 through 9. Isaiah 11, verses 6 through 9. And it says, the wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together. And a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together. And the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra. And the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. There it is, guys. More about the redeeming of creation. In the beginning, before the fall, this is the way it was, guys. So he's redeeming it for that 1,000 years. Next, we want to look at the idea of productivity. There will be a lot of productivity in that 1,000 years as well. For that, we look in Isaiah 35, verses 1 through 7. Isaiah 35, verses 1 through 7. Don't you love the book of Isaiah? I tell you what, Isaiah, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, contributed a lot of really important prophecy in the Word of God. Isaiah 35, 1 through 7. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands. Steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong. Do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. Listen, guys, the more of this I read, the more uplifted I feel. I tell you what, it makes it clear that the ground is going to be produced again. There's going to be productivity, as I said. The ground is going to produce again. I suspect what this is saying, all that stuff that it said, to add to that, what it makes me think about is, a lot of people here in church, for whatever reason, it's not been a good year for tomato plants. Okay? It's not going to happen anymore. In the millennium, that's not going to happen. I suspect we're going to have tomatoes like basketball. You know? And there won't be any more blight that gets on them tomato plants and ruins the latter part of our crop. How about it? Now, I don't know about animals eating our tomatoes in the millennium, because they're not going to be eating each other. So I don't know how that's all going to work. But I've had animals eating my tomatoes this year, and I'm not too happy about it. It seems I have a raccoon in the area that got a taste for red tomatoes. He didn't eat any green ones, just the ones I wanted to pick the next day. There won't be any of that in the new millennium. Apparently. That's what I read. These are the things I think of from what we've read. Because everything's redeemed back to the original intent. Back to what it was like in the garden. See, it doesn't say this anywhere, but I also wonder whether the weather's going to change back then too, and we won't have rainy days, I wonder. It doesn't say it anywhere, but if everything's getting redeemed, it makes me wonder whether the earth will be watered with the dew again, and that there won't be any more rainy days. It makes me wonder. I'm not telling you that I got inside perspective on it, and that's the way it's going to be. What I'm saying is that's what this makes me think about, is these kinds of things. When I read the wonderful things I read that God brought through prophetically through Isaiah, and it gets me excited. What we plant, we will harvest from. We read it together, right? Whatever we plant, we're going to get a harvest from it. We're promised that. So that tells me there must not ever going to be hailstorms anymore, because the hailstorms absolutely destroy crops. It also tells me there's probably not going to be anything like locusts anymore that will wipe out wheat fields. Think about it. See, when I read this stuff, it makes me think about all that stuff. And guess what? That means there will absolutely not, in that 1,000 years, be any shortage of food. The tables will be full. Because without all the pestilence, there's going to be a bounty of food, right? I mean, think about it. There will be peace. There will be joy. We're not going to have those without holiness. There will be holiness. True holiness. There will be a lack of sin in the camp in the new millennium. There will be justice. Real justice. Not justice according to man, There will be justice because God will be in control of the millennium. There will be righteousness. There will be prosperity. There's bound to be prosperity. Like I said, when all of the pestilences don't exist, you've got to have prosperity. That sounds mighty good to me. So now today, you can say I'm a prosperity preacher. But not beyond today. There will be no sickness. No more cancers. No more COPD. No more diabetes. Amen. No more circulatory problems. No more spinal stenosis. No more any of it. I'm ready to go right now. Let's go. No disabilities. No disabilities. No mental disabilities. No physical disabilities. Not children being born with physical disabilities. They'll be born perfect. Again, I'm ready to go right now. Next, we need to look at the idea that Satan and demons are bound. Glory, hallelujah. I just got goosebumps back here. Not having to deal with Satan and all his demons anymore sounds really, really good to me.
Amen. That's
right. Revelation 20, verses 1 through 3. See, I've rambled long enough. We've got to get back in the Word now. While you're turning there, did you guys notice I got a railing over here now to hang on to so I don't break my neck coming up and down here. Dave Liggins did that. He had made this one quite some time ago from scratch. He made this out of rough wood. And he made a matching one for me. No, I'll let you all use it, but thank you, Dave.
Yes.
All right, beginning to read verse 1. And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss and holding in his hand a great chain. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent who is the devil or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, millennium, for the millennium, okay? What did he do then? He threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore until 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a short time. God's will, it's got to happen, but after 1,000 years of not dealing with Satan, I'm kind of bummed he's going to be let loose again, but it'll be worth it. Okay? So, Christ rules from Jerusalem. He rules from Jerusalem in the new millennium. And there will be universal worship of God. Universal worship of God. That's what happens in the new millennium. And we don't have time to read all of it, but you all can read about that. I'll give you the reference. Ezekiel chapters 40 through 48. So we're talking 8 chapters. So this week, this coming week, 7 days in a week, you read 2 of those chapters one day and 1 chapter the rest of the week, and you'll have them all read. and you'll be up to speed. Again, Ezekiel 40, chapters 40 through chapter 48, and that's where you see that there will be universal worship of God. It won't be like when the Antichrist, before all this, was in control, and he made everyone worship him, or they're being killed. You're going to have a choice. That's before this. That's before the millennium. But Satan will have his reign in the Antichrist for a season. There will be God's glory and his presence in the new temple. In the new temple. All right. Our final major point in this series. How does the new millennium come to an end? For that, we read Revelation 20. Verses 7 through 15. Revelation 20, verses 7 through 15. Are you guys digging this? Because, I mean, especially today, I'm digging this. This is good stuff. This is good teaching. All right, beginning to read in verse 7. When the 1,000 years are over, Satan will be released from his prison, here we go, and will go out to deceive the nations in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle. In number, they are like the sand on the seashore. They marched across the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of God's people, the city he loved. But fire came down from heaven and devoured them. Hallelujah. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and each person who judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Guys, I can't plead enough that you search your hearts and make sure that you are truly a born-again believer in Christ. I can't express enough how important that decision is. It is the most important decision that we will ever make in our entire life. Because we just read what's going to happen to those whose name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We just read it. It's a dreadful end. And it goes on forever. Remember? We just read it. It goes on forever and ever in the lake of fire. The only way we get our name in the Lamb's Book of Life is to repent of our sin, admit we're sinners, repent of our sin, invite Jesus Christ into our lives to be our Lord and Savior, and live for Him from that day forward. We no longer live for ourselves, but we live for Him, allowing Him to be Lord and Savior of our lives. It's the only way our name gets in the Lamb's Book of Life, and if it is not in there, we are not saved, and what awaits us is an eternity in a fiery pit. Not only am I expressing this so strongly today for all of us, but so that you will go out there and tell people, tell them. There are millions of people out there in this nation that have been deceived into believing that if they believe there is a God, that's all it takes to be saved, and that's a lie out of the pit of hell. Jesus said, only those who are born again. Only those who are born again will enter His kingdom. So Satan is released. We read it. What followed was the final rebellion, remember? They gathered around God's holy place, His holy people around Jerusalem. And fire came out of the heavens and devoured everyone, including Satan, the Antichrist, the beast, all of it, into the lake of fire, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then there is the final judgment, the great white throne judgment. I'm going to quit right there, but I got another scripture I want you to read when you get home, or sometime this week. I want you to read chapters 21 and 22 of Revelation. It talks about the new heaven and the new earth and eternity that will follow. Is there anyone here today? You know your relationship's not right with the Lord. Maybe you've never done what I mentioned earlier. Maybe you have, but you've grown cold. I would invite you to walk up here, and I'll pray with you. Jesus! The gospel speaks to hearts. You heard Him. He said, the Holy Spirit's all over me right now. I was sensing it the whole time today. Even the tongue of interpretation that came. Guys, that was about as bold of an interpretation to a tongue I've ever had. That was a rebuke. You know, a loving one. But that was a rebuke. That, you know, some of the things when they come out my mouth when I was getting the interpretation, I was like, wow. Wow. That's a little scary. But you know what? Time's running out, and God is drawing His people closer to Himself. He's calling us the heir. Let's all stand together. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the power of Your Spirit. We welcome You to fill us, Lord, to overflowing. And as we leave this place, use us to warn the people of what's to come if they continue to reject Christ. And to share with them the love that abounds in relationship with Him. Lord, bring us back next weekend safely, hungry for Your Word, and Lord, minister to us. And Lord, we pray that You will just begin to turn up the dial on the number of healings and miracles and signs and wonders in our lives, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless. We love You.